there.
Nay, answer me. Stand and unfold yourself.
Long live the king.
Bernardo.
He.
You come most carefully upon your hour.
It is now struck 12. Get thee to bed, Francisco.
For this relief, much thanks. 'Tis bitter cold, and I am sick at heart.
Have you had quiet guard?
Not a mouse stirring.
Well, good night. If you do meet Horatio and Marcellus, the rivals of my watch, bid them make haste.
I think I hear them. Stand, ho, who's there?
Friends to this ground.
And leave to the day.
Give you good night.
Oh, farewell, honest soldier. Good to relieve you.
Bernardo at my place. Give you good night.
Bernardo.
Say, what, is Horatio there?
Your peace is him.
Welcome, Horatio. Welcome, good Marcellus.
What, is this thing appeared again tonight?
I have seen nothing.
Horatio says 'tis but our fantasy, and will not let the leaf take hold of him, touching this dreaded sight, twice seen of us. Therefore I have entreated him along with us to watch the minutes of this night. But if again this apparition come, he may approve our eyes and speak to it.
Tush will not appear.
Sit down a while, and let us once again assail your ears that are so fortified against our story, what we have two nights seen.
Well, sit we down, and let us hear Bernardo speak of this.
Last night of all, when yon same star that's westward from the pole had made his course to illume that part of heaven where now it burns, Marcellus and myself, the bell then beating one with...
Peace breaking off! Look where it comes again.
A small figure like the king that's dead.
Thou art a scholar. Speak to it, Horatio.
Looks not like the king. Mark it, Horatio.
Most like. It harrows me with fear.
What? It would be spoke to.
Question it, Horatio.
What art thou that you dare this time of night, together with that fair and warlike form in which the majesty of buried Denmark did sometimes march? By heaven I charge thee, speak.
It has offended.
See, it stalks away.
Stay, speak. Speak. I charge thee, speak.
It is gone and will not answer.
Now, Horatio, you tremble and look pale. Is not this something more than fantasy? What think you want?
Before my God, I might not disbelieve without a sensible and true avouch of mine own eye.
Is it not like the king?
As thou art thyself. Such was the very armor he had on when he, the ambitious Norway, combated. So frowned he once, when in an angry parle he smote the sledded poleaxe on the ice. It is strange.
Thus. Twice before, and jump at this dead hour, with martial stalk had he gone by our watch.
In what particular thought to work, I know not. But in the gross and scope of mine opinion, this bodes some strange eruption to our state.
Good, now sit down, and tell me, he that knows, why this same strict and most observant watch so nightly toils the subject of the land, and why such daily cast of brazen cannon and foreign mart for implements of war, why such impressive shipwrights, whose sore task does not divide the Sunday from the week. What might be toward that this sweaty haste doth make the night joint laborer with the day? So who is that can inform me?
That can I. At least the whisper goes so. Our last king, whose image even but now appeared to us, was, as you know, by 14 brass of Norway, thereto pricked on by a most emulate pride, dared to the combat, in which our valiant Hamlet, for so this side of our known world esteemed him, did slay this 14 brass. Who by a sealed compact, well ratified by law and heraldry, did forfeit with his life all those his lands which he stood seized of to the conqueror. Against the which, a moiety competent was gaged by our king, which had returned to the inheritance of 14 brass had he been vanquisher. As by the same comart and carriage of the article designed, his fell to Hamlet. Now, sir, young 14 brass, of unimproved metal, hot and full, hath in the skirts of Norway here and there sharked up a list of lawless resolutes for food and diet to some enterprise that hath a stomach it, which is no other, as it doth well appear unto our state, but to recover of us by strong hand and terms compulsatory those foresaid lands so by his father lost. And this, I take it, is the main motive of our preparations, the source of this our watch, and the chief head of this post-haste and roamage in the land.
I think it be no other but e'en so. Well may it thought that this portentous figure comes armed through our watch so like the king that was and is the question of these wars.
A mote it is to trouble the mind's eye. In the most high and palmy state of Rome, a little ere the mightiest Julius fell, the grave stood tenantless, and the sheeted dead did squeak and gibber in the Roman streets,
and even the like precursors of fierce events, as harbingers preceding still the fates and prologue to the omen coming on, have heaven and earth together demonstrated unto our climatures and countrymen. As stars with trains of fire and dews of blood, disasters in the sun, and the moist star upon whose influence Neptune's empire stands, were sick almost to doomsday with eclipse. But soft, behold, lo, when it comes again, I'll cross it with blood.
Stay, illusion! If thou hast any sound or use of voice, speak to me. If there be any good thing to be done that may to thee do ease and bliss to me, speak to me. If thou art privy to thy country's fate, which happily foreknowing may avoid, oh, speak. Or if thou hast afforded in thy life extorted treasure in the womb of earth, for which they say you spirit oft walk in death, speak of it. Say and speak.
Tightened with my
heart of
that.
Do it,
Bruno.
Stand here.
Sit here. It's gone. We do it wrong, being so majestical, to offer it the show of violence, for it is as the air invulnerable, and our vain blows malicious mockery.
It was about to speak when the cock crew, and then it started like a guilty thing upon a fearful summons. I have heard the cock that is the trumpet to the morn doth with his lofty and shrill-sounding throat awake the god of day, and at his warning, whether in sea or fire, in earth or air, the extravagant and erring spirit hies to his confine. And of the truth herein, this present object made probation.
It faded on the crowing of the cock. Some say that ever against that season comes wherein our Saviour's birth is celebrated, this bird of dawning singeth all night long. And then they say no spirit dare stir abroad. The nights are wholesome, then no planets strike, no fairy takes, nor witch hath power to charm. So hallowed and so gracious is that time.
So have I heard, and do in part believe it. But look, the morn in russet mantle clad walks o'er the dew of yon high eastward hill. Break we our watch up, and by my advice let us impart what we have seen tonight unto young Hamlet. For upon my life, this spirit dumb to us will speak to him. Do you consent? We shall acquaint him with it, as needful in our loves, fitting our duty.
Let's do it, I pray. And I this morning know where we shall find him most convenient.